All right, if you want to get your Bible out and ready, we will be in 1 Chronicles 16. I'll give you a minute to get situated, but 1 Chronicles chapter 16. So this is the account of David bringing the Ark of the Covenant into the city of Jerusalem. And there's obviously a lot of excitement going on here. And you'll see, picking this up in the middle of the account, 1 Chronicles 16. Go down there to verse 7. If you look at verses before that, the Levites are there. They're blowing the trumpets. The people are excited about the Ark of the Covenant returning. And if you remember in your Old Testament, why was the Ark of the Covenant such a big deal? That's the very presence of God in the tabernacle. That Ark of the Covenant was kept in the most holy place. It was the only thing in there. And that is where God would meet with that high priest of Israel. So that was a very important piece of furniture, obviously. Pick it up in verse 7. And I'll read a few verses and then I'm going to skip down towards the end of the chapter. 1 Chronicles 16, starting verse 7. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. So here's the psalm. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. So what I did is I took the first, I think in most of these verses, yes, every verse, the first word or couple of words in verses 8 through 12, they are all action words. And they tell you what to do when it comes to thanking the Lord. There's some specifics. It starts off, give thanks in verse 8. Also, the second part of verse 8, make known. Verse 9, sing. Second part of verse 9, talk. Verse 10, glory ye in his holy name. Verse 11, seek the Lord. And it says it again, seek his face. And then verse 12, remember his marvelous work. So the Christian life is a life of action. And there are some specific action words for all of us, right? I could have gone through each of those verses, but I decided to take a different direction tonight. If you go down to verse 34, same chapter. I want to take our message from this. I just thought that would be a good starting place. Verse 34. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. How come? For he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. And I'd like to take the message actually from that verse. Give thanks unto the Lord, and the main reason, there's actually two things in that verse, but I want to focus on one, and the other one will come up later in the message. The main reason to give thanks unto the Lord is because he is good. So this is all about thanking God for his goodness. So what I did is I looked through the scriptures about things that are called good. And if they're called good by God, we should thank him for those things. So I'll just give you five. I could have given you a lot longer list, but I figured we have time for maybe five, if I go fairly quick. Things that are good that you can thank God for. So thanking God for his goodness. So let's start off in Genesis 1. Bible study principle. One of the first ones we covered is the principle of first mention. So when do you see the word good for the first time? Genesis 1, you see it several times here. Genesis 1:1, the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. I hate to hurry through those scriptures, but I want to get down to verse 4. After all that, and God saw the light that it was good. First thing that's called good in your Bible is light. I think I'll just save that for later. I could go off on a tangent, but I'll save it. Go down to verse 10. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called these seas, and God saw that it was good. You'll see the same thing in verse 12, last part of verse 12. God saw that it was good, last part of verse 18. And God saw that it was good, 21, same thing. God saw that it was good, and then you see it again in 31. And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was not just good, very good. So here's the first point. God's workmanship is good. I think I said this recently in a message, and it's one of those simple things that is very profound. God doesn't do anything on accident. Everything He does has a purpose. Every little thing He does has a purpose. If you study the world of microbiology, you have to have magnification to see these tiny little things that God made. Do you know how important it is that those little tiny microorganisms do their job in the role that God has placed them in our world? Pretty important, huh, Frank? We got the resident biologist here. And then Miss Katie can tell you on the medical side, little tiny parts of our bodies are a big deal. Everything that God made has a purpose. His work, His creation is good. And He makes no mistakes. In fact, you're in Genesis 1, and everything is great. And it's fine up until chapter 3. And you know what the problem was with Adam and Eve? I think this is something that probably another message will come from this one day, or maybe one of the fellows will preach it. Genesis 2:16, look at this. The problem with Adam and Eve. 2:16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of what? Good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, based on chapter 1 and all the things we said about chapter 1, Adam and Eve had to have known that God is good. They had to have known good. What they did not know was evil. They didn't have that knowledge of good and evil. They knew good. You know what their problem was? And man, this really hits home with me. Maybe it'll hit home with you too. They were not satisfied with the goodness of God. And that desire to partake of that which was forbidden thrust the entire human race and God's creation into sin, and death resulted from that. Goodness was not enough. They knew the goodness, but they wanted more than that. And wanting more is not always a good thing. So the goodness of God, God's workmanship is good. Go over to Exodus 18. I'm already through the first point. That took less than 5 minutes. Exodus 18. I'm just going to give you five things about thanking God for His goodness. So the first one, you could say God's creation or His workmanship is good. God makes no mistakes. So here's something to think about. In spite of sin entering into the world, is God able to do things good? He sure is. Now here's something to consider. What about children that are born that are, say, Down syndrome or mentally retarded? Did you know? And I bet you could probably tell me the same testimony that I could give you. People I have known over the years, mentally retarded or Down syndrome, have been some of the biggest proponents of giving praise and glory to God. So that goes to show you, in spite of their circumstances, God brings good. What does Romans 8:28 say? All things work together for what? Good to them that love God. To them there are called according to His purpose. See, God's purposes are good. He's able to bring good out of the most dreadful of circumstances. I think Paul and Joyce are a great example of that. It's been a tough circumstance here the last few months for Paul. Joyce as well. and had her own situation physically that she had to deal with. And in that situation, a lot of good has come. You know why? The gospel of Jesus Christ has gone forth to people who maybe would not have heard it had it not been for Paul and Joyce crossing their path. Amen? See, God's able to take situations like that and bring good out of them. So just a reminder for all of us. Exodus 18. Go down there to verse 9. This is where this fellow Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, shows up. They've already escaped Egypt. They've been delivered. And they're in the wilderness making their way to the promised land. And Jethro shows up. And look at verse 9. 18:9. And Jethro rejoiced for all the what? Goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, "Blessed be the Lord who hath delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of Pharaoh, who hath delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians." Now I know that the Lord is, he's not just good. What is he? He's also great. How great? Greater than all gods, for in the thing wherein they dealt proudly, he was above them. So here's number two, things that are good. God's deliverance is good. You see that in verse 10, or verse 9, Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. So God's deliverance is good. All right, this is a crowd that most, if not all, you're here on Sunday nights, and you've been through the Bible study principles with us. I'm reading out of the Old Testament. I'm reading about the history of Israel. Is there anything that we can draw from the passage we read and apply today, living in the church age? I say yes. When I read this, I know it's history, but I know also that Jethro is saying something about God's goodness in delivering them from Egypt. Okay, what do you know about Egypt? What was their situation in Egypt? They were slaves. They were in bondage. How did they get delivered from Egypt? What was the final straw for Pharaoh? It was the death of the firstborn. And all the Israelites were delivered. They did not experience that because something saved them. What was it that saved them? It was the blood of the Passover lamb that kept God's judgment away from them. So, I'm not an Israelite. I didn't live back then. But I can relate. You know why? You should be able to as well. It's the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, that delivered me from bondage. Not the bondage of Egypt, but the bondage of sin. Folks, if you have been saved, you have been freed from that yoke of bondage that was around your neck. The only reason you struggle with it is because you keep picking it back up. Let it go. The Lord delivered you from that. And we are like, the Proverbs say, like a dog, it's the nastiest thing, but it's true. Like a dog returns to his vomit. We go back to that stuff. If you've been delivered from that, get out. Leave it. I tell you, I can relate to those Israelites. You remember, they got out of Egypt, miraculous deliverance. They get into the wilderness, and what do they start doing? And it doesn't take them long. What do they start doing? Start complaining, wishing they were back. Isn't that a whole lot like your flesh? I know that it doesn't matter how long you've been saved. You remember things in the world that you were associated with before you got saved. Yeah? And your mind will take you back to those places or situations or things or people. And there will be a yearning to go back. You ever sense that? And you gotta squash that. Because the flesh says, yeah, just going back. Yeah, remember how good that was? And you gotta really ponder how good it was. It wasn't good. The reason you got saved is so you could get out of that. You didn't have to deal with that anymore. So I don't know about you, but I can relate to the plight of those Israelites. As I read through the Old Testament and I see them in the wilderness, I know that we can say, man, what a bunch of rascals. I can't believe they thought like that. I'm just like it. And so are you if you're honest. You got to continually consider God's goodness and how He got you out of that and how He's got something better for you ahead if you'll just trust Him. That stuff is in the past and it's no good and He's got something a whole lot better for you. So God's deliverance is good. How about another one on that same subject? Go to Exodus 33. This one's going to take longer than 5 minutes. Exodus 33, go down to verse 19. This is really neat. The Lord talking to Moses here. Exodus 33:19. And He said, I will make all my... Y'all there? 33:19. This is God talking. And He said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Okay, well, how did the Lord do that? Go to the next chapter, chapter 34, verse 5. Watch this. 34:5, and the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in what? Goodness. And what's the next thing? Truth. So, little transition point here in the message. God's goodness is mentioned in that verse. And His goodness is mentioned also in connection with truth. Okay, the next thing I want to cover here. We have God's deliverance is good. God's creation or His workmanship is good. You know what else is good? God's truth is good. God's truth is good. This is number three. He says at the end of verse 6, abundant in goodness and truth. Now, abundant. You got a pretty good-sized Bible here, don't you? That's a lot to read. My Bible's 1,888 pages. How long is yours? I think the Scofield Bible, if I remember right, is 1,670. Or no, that's not it. That's another study Bible I have. Scofield. Anybody got Scofield? How many pages you got? Anybody got one of those? Probably in the 1600s or 1700s, maybe 15. Okay, what do you got? 1800? Somebody else, what do you got? How many pages in your Bible? That's a lot of stuff to read. I would say God has given us abundance of truth in one book, in one volume. And it is, yeah, it's intimidating. It's the Lord. It's His Word. It is a little overwhelming. Isn't the Lord a little overwhelming? Isn't it a lot to digest? Yes, that's the magnitude of God's Word. It's a lifetime of study. You get 70, you're doing well. If you get more than that, man, you're doing real well. What if you lived to be 100, 200, 300? You could not come close to exhausting the abundance of truth you've got here. God's given you so much just here. Folks, you think about this. If this is all you had, if this is all you had, it's enough, isn't it? I mentioned the other day, the Lord said, having food and raiment, be content. Okay, let's add in a third. You got food, you got clothes to wear, you got God's Word, you got plenty. What else do you need besides those three things? I'm talking about basic necessities. You got clothes, you got food, you got God's Word. Amen? So, God's truth is good. Let's go to Psalms. Actually, I'll tell you what. Before we go to Psalms, on the way there, go to 2 Kings 20. We'll get Psalms next. 2 Kings 20. This is a really neat one. This is one of the good kings of Judah, King Hezekiah. And he says something real interesting. 2 Kings 20, go down to verse 16. 2 Kings chapter 20. Go down there to verse 16. If you remember there, this is Hezekiah was told he was only going to live so long, and then the Lord added some years to his life. And if you go down to verse 16, 2016, and Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house, and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day, shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Okay, before I read the next verse, what sort of news did Hezekiah just receive from the prophet Isaiah? Bad news. Bad for the future. He had some things coming that were not going to be good, and it concerns his family even. Remember this. He just received bad news. Look at the proper response of Hezekiah in verse 19. This is fascinating. Then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah. What's that next word? Good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. Now, was Hezekiah out of his mind? No. You know why he said that? Because God's truth is always the truth. God's word is always the truth. And God's truth is good. Folks, who do you know that is 100% accurate in everything they say? Who do you know? I would love to tell you that I'm 100% accurate, but the Bible calls me a liar. It says all men are liars. Ladies, that includes you too, so don't think you got a free pass there. So who can you trust? The only words you can trust all of the time, 100% of the time, are God's words. So look at this response here. I didn't finish it up. Hezekiah says, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. And he said, is it not good if peace and truth be in my days? So you know what Hezekiah was doing? He was thinking, well, after I die, it's going to be rough. Man, I'm glad I'm not going to see that. Count your blessings, right? At the same time, Hezekiah knew, think he really dug into the heart of Hezekiah. Hezekiah, being a man of God, he knew that what was coming for his kingdom was deserved. Good is the word of the Lord, he says. God's truth is always good. God's truth is always good. Go over to Psalm. I'll give you a couple in Psalms. Go to Psalm 52. Actually, go to Psalm 100 first. Go to Psalm 100, then we'll back up to 52. Psalm 100, verse 5. Psalm 100, verse 5. Good little transition here into the next two. Look at verse 5. For the Lord is good. His mercy, talk about that in a minute. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. All means all, and that's all means, right? Do you have God's truth? It has endured. Now, I can talk about people from the Great Reformation, Martin Luther, a whole slew of men influential in what happened a few hundred years ago. Great men, men God used, but they're not around anymore. I could talk about Bob Jones Sr. I could talk about a whole bunch of men, John R. Rice, men of the past, D.L. Moody. Talk about a whole lot of these guys. They're not here anymore. God used them, but they're not here anymore. But you know what is here? God's words. And the same Bible that they used, you've got. And after I'm gone and you're gone, this book will keep going. So what a great investment to invest your time into this book. Because can you think of anything on the stock market that you can invest in that lasts generation after generation? Certainly not Bitcoin, right? Certainly not any of those cryptocurrencies. There we go. Better watch out for that. But isn't that just proof? You invest in anything outside of God's Word, you're investing in something that only lasts for a short time. You invest in God's Word and you're making an eternal investment. And what kind of return will you get on an eternal investment? What kind of return will you get there? How about an eternal return? How about that? A reward that will never disappear, never fade away, never be stolen. Go to Psalm 52. Psalm 52. God's truth is good. Let's see what's next here. Psalm 52. Again, this is just a reminder of things that you can thank God for concerning His goodness. That's just one aspect of something to thank God for. Thank God because He's good, but what is good? Here's five little things, and there's a whole lot more than just these five, but I'll just give you five tonight. Look at Psalm 52, verse 8. We'll see what else is good. But I'm like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise Thee forever because Thou hast done it, and I will wait on Thy what? On Thy name, for it is good before Thy saints. You know what else you can thank God for that's good? His name. His name is good. You don't have to turn to Philippians 2, but it says over there, at the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. What name is it that you called on to save you? Romans 10:13. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'd say God's name is pretty important if it's their saving power in calling upon His name. Wouldn't you say? I would say God's name is good because of that. Go to Psalm 54. Isn't it just like the world to take the greatest of names and when they want to sound real smart, actually it's not really smart, they sound pretty foolish, when they want to sound authoritative, whose name do they use? When the world wants to sound authoritative, whose name do they have to use to try to sound authoritative? It's God's name. You've heard people use God's name in vain more than you ever wanted to hear at this point in your life. And isn't that every time you hear it, it ought to be a reminder to you? I don't enjoy hearing it. I want you to understand that. Nobody enjoys hearing that here, at least. But when I do hear it, it is a reminder. They have to appeal to that name to try to sound like they know what they're talking about. So they'll use God, His name, in vain. You ever hear people use the Lord in a vain way? The Lord. And then the name that the world likes to use probably most is the name of Jesus Christ. When they get down to real serious, wanting to sound authoritative, they use the name. Isn't that something? That's the name they appeal to. We're talking about people that have never read the Bible. We're talking about people who've never been in church. And that's the name that comes out of their mouth. There must be something to that name. I say there is. Look at Psalm 54. Psalm 54. Look at verse 6. Verse 6. Verse 6 and 7. There it is. I will freely sacrifice unto Thee. I will praise Thy name, O Lord, for it is... There's God's name being good. Verse 7 goes along with the previous point. For He hath delivered me out of all trouble, and mine eye has seen His desire upon mine enemies. Has the Lord delivered you from trouble? Maybe a time or two? Maybe just once or twice? Or 100 or 300 or 1,000? Amen. God's name is good. As I said, there's saving power in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank Him for saving you and remember that His name is good. Psalm 86 would be the last one here. This will coincide with some other passages that you've seen this theme show up concerning God's goodness. Psalm 86. Look at verse 5. Psalm 86:5. Y'all there? 86:5. For Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive. And I love this one. Plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon Thee. Now, if you're saved, you can point to that verse and say, God is plenteous in mercy to me. Because it even pinpoints, who's He merciful to? All them that call upon Him. Now, let's spend some time here on the mercy of God. Here's number five. God's mercy is good. You've seen that word show up in some of these other verses connected with God's goodness. God's mercy is good. So, let's define mercy. Real interesting definition I found. Mercy. Compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. Have you been the recipient of God's mercy? If you're saved, you have. You know why? God has the power, and I deserve it and you do too. You deserve to be punished, and God has the power to do that. So how is it that God can say, I'm not going to give you the punishment you deserve? Does He just say, here it is? Yes and no. Something had to happen for God to extend His merciful hand to me and you. If it's within God's power to punish us, and we deserve it, but God's mercy is available, how's it made available? Well, God punished His only begotten Son. He took the punishment that I deserve and everybody here deserves. And when a person believes on Jesus Christ and what He did through His death, burial, and resurrection, calls upon His name to save them, they get, what do they get in return? The mercy of God. The punishment was given to somebody who didn't deserve it, and you got the mercy. You didn't deserve the mercy. I didn't deserve the mercy. God said, I had to punish somebody. So He put it on the Lord Jesus Christ so He could extend mercy to anybody who will trust Jesus Christ. See, sin has to be paid for, folks. The price had to be paid, or else God could not extend His merciful hand. In the Old Testament, wasn't there a price? There had to be an animal slain. And the problem with that was, it was a repeated thing because you sin again. Hey, aren't you glad there's no animal sacrifice? Aren't you glad that you got the mercy of God and it can't be taken away from you? That was an eternal payment that was made by Jesus Christ. All those Old Testament sacrifices, temporary payments. Jesus Christ's payment for sin, eternal, available to anybody who will trust Him. Amen? Thank God for His goodness in being merciful to you. So here's a few verses here real quick. I'll just give you, I got several, but let's go to two. Psalm 106. You're in Psalm 86. Go to 106. We'll go to Psalm 106 and 107 and we'll stop. 106, 107. 106 verse 1 first. And then we'll hop over to 107 verse 1. If you read the Psalms, mercy is a theme all throughout the Psalms. Psalm 106 verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Look what follows. For His mercy endureth. Hey, didn't God's truth endure forever? You know what else endures forever? God's mercy endures forever. How's that possible? Because only God is forever. Only He can give mercy forever and truth forever because He is the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. So go to Psalm 107, verse 1. So I'm just trying to get you a little excited here about things to thank God for concerning His goodness. So, Lord willing, this will transfer into tomorrow. But not just stop tomorrow. Keep going on Friday. Isn't that something? The day after the most thankful day of the year. It's supposed to be the most thankful day of the year. What's the world called the day after? What's that all about? Right back into the darkness the world goes, don't they? That's the way they wander, in darkness all the time. If they get out of the darkness for a time, it's very short and they're right back in it. Psalm 107, I think that says a lot about our world whenever you have a day associated with darkness. And we just had one at the end of October, if I remember correctly, too, didn't we? Yeah. Psalm 107, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Now, wait a minute. That sounds just like Psalm 106, verse 1. Why would God repeat Himself? You know the answer to this. Go ahead. It must be important. You know what God wanted to emphasize? His mercy endureth forever. He's good. His truth endures forever. His name is good. His deliverance is good. Now, you got a few things to thank God for? If you just take, and I left off several more I could have given you here. If you just take the goodness of God in the Scriptures and search that out, you'll find all kinds of things to thank God for just concerning one aspect of who He is, being good. Here's a verse that comes to mind. New Testament verse. It is the goodness of God that leads to repentance. God extended His mercy. He said, if you'll believe on Jesus Christ, you can be saved. In order to do that, you had to understand you're a sinner. You had to have a change of heart concerning your sin. And God is in the transforming business, and He changed you into a new creature. All of that is connected with repentance. It's the goodness of God that leads to repentance. Man, you got a few things to thank God for. Thank God for His creation, His work. It's always good. Thank God for His deliverance from the bondage and power of sin, because that's good. Thank God for His truth, because His truth is good. Thank God for His great name. His name is good. And thank God for His mercy. His mercy is good. There's many more that you can thank God for. Many more things you can thank God for. I'll tell you a verse to write down. Colossians 3:17. I'll paraphrase it for you. It's the will of God that you live a life of being thankful to Him. It's God's will that you do that. So when you complain, you're not being thankful. I needed to hear that if you did. Rockwell, when you complain, you're not being thankful. When you complain, you're saying, I'm not thankful. You're just telling everybody how unthankful you are. So keep it to yourself and say, well, it could be a whole lot worse. Whatever it is. And we complain about the most ridiculous of things. Last verse I'll give you here to write down. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God that if you know Jesus Christ, you can walk out of here tonight saying, I'm a winner. I'm on the winning side. You say, but wait a minute. Who's keeping score? Don't let the world keep score. They're going to tell you you're behind. The Lord's keeping score. And sometimes it looks like we're behind. And the clock keeps ticking. And as the clock runs down, you see that you're not losing, you're winning. In fact, when the time runs out, that's when you really experience the victory, right? So thank God that you are on the winning side. Oh, there's a whole lot we could say about that. Hopefully that will kind of kickstart you, getting you into the thanksgiving spirit of being thankful to God. And I'll just tell you this in closing. You hear a lot of people say, I'm thankful for, ba-doom, ba-doom, ba-doom. I'm glad that they're saying that. But let's be specific when we give thanks. Give thanks to God for what He's done. I know a lot of times we'll just say, well, I'm thankful for this, I'm thankful for that. Make it a public act of being thankful and thank God for you fill in the blank. A lot of things you can thank Him for instead of just leaving it out there as to, oh, I'm thankful. Because you'll hear people tomorrow that aren't saved say, I'm thankful for this. Who are you thankful for? Who are you thanking? Your own good luck? Is it your own good fortune that you are thankful? Somebody, the universe must have just decided to smile on you today. No, come on. It's God that you need to thank for what He's done for you. So just keep that in mind as you leave here and then go through the next few days here. So let's pray together. Lord, we just do want to extend our thankfulness to You for Your goodness to us. We should never get to the place where we can't thank You for something. And I pray that we don't do that. And I pray that no matter how difficult it may be, for maybe some of us here in this room in the next few days or weeks, pray that if that happens, we would be thankful for what You do for us every day, the gifts You give us every day, the gift of salvation, the gift of eternal life. We just want to extend our thankfulness to You, Lord. Thank You for a little time to spend in Your Word. I pray that all of us here tonight just be in this spirit of being thankful to You for what You've done for us. And not just tomorrow, not just tonight, but always. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.